What do you call two guys that were there when this happened?
Back to return at Spurlock. Michael Spurlock at the 10. He's to the 20. He's to the 25. Spurlock 30 to the 40-yard line. We could see history. 50, 40 to the 30-yard line. Yeah. Run, Michael. Run, Michael. Run, Michael. Run. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. There you go.
And that.
Shotgun set. Three receivers left. Here's the snap, and the blitzer is picked up. Brady underneath. Caught ball, Evans. He has the record at the 11-yard line. Mike Evans becomes the first NFL player in league history to record 1,000 yards or more in his first seven seasons, and what a throw by Brady. Congratulations, Mike Evans.
Who can forget?
Gannon looking, Gannon throws up the middle. That's intercepted at the 30. Derrick Brooks, 30. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Derrick Brooks, the most valuable player in the National Football League. There it is. The dagger's in. We're going to win the Super Bowl.
Here's the snap. Mahomes running to his right. Look out. He may run. Mahomes directly. Oh, toward the end down. Battle. Intercepted. Picked off at the end zone. Bucks are going to beat the Chiefs. We're the champions of the world, and we still have a minute 33 to go. Devin White. What a great second season. That's it for KC. Bucks are the Super Bowl champs. They can't stop the clock.
We call them the Salty Dogs.
And welcome in, everybody, to another episode of the Salty Dogs podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Scott Smith.
And I'm Jeff Ryan.
And we are the Salty Dogs.
We are.
And this is sort of a mini episode.
Yeah.
It's a salty puppies?
Well, we could say, you know,
that's young.
We're under the major storm watch here in the Tampa Bay area. And it,
basically, the reason this is a mini, and it will probably still end up talking an hour because that's what we do, but we won't have a guest because there's nobody else in the building.
There is nobody else in the building.
We were allowed to come in,
yeah,
but we didn't have to come in.
Yeah, the organization's great about taking care of, if you need to stay home, stay home. Don't worry about it. And take care of your stuff, which we, if you didn't know, in the Tampa Bay area, there was an opportunity arose of a storm. Yeah, of a storm hitting the Tampa Bay area, and knock on wood, it passed us again. Which is, you go yay for us, but then you feel sorry for where
it hit. Exactly what we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah,
when we saw that it was bending away from the initial indications that it was going to hit the Bay Area. We were pleased, obviously.
Sure.
Because we don't want to get hit by a hurricane. But as always is the case, then you start thinking, well, that means it's going to hit somebody else.
Actually, best case scenario, and I know the people in Big Bend, which is up in the panhandle of Florida, they're not happy. But it's less populated and it's more swampy. Yeah. So it's,
but we just still have to keep in mind that
there's life.
There's life and possessions at stake. Yeah. And we're aware of that. And we feel for anybody that this Hurricane Idalia affects.
And it's affecting the Tampa Bay area, and the thing with high tides right now.
That's true. There's people in the Bay Area who would be affected as well.
Correct.
Jeff and I are lucky enough to not be in those areas.
Nope.
I had nothing to do this morning. I didn't have anything to clean up.
I did. I had to clean up some branches and stuff. Yeah, which was, I expected that, but nothing.
Well, I guess I didn't look in the backyard, but nothing.
I didn't go to the backyard either.
So maybe there's some, because I got oak trees, maybe there's some stuff back there. But in any case, our thoughts are with anybody that's affected by this.
Sure.
It's not just Florida. It's going to hit Georgia. I think South Carolina and North Carolina are under alert.
And then it's going back into the Atlantic, and it could do a loop around and come back through Florida.
Oh, my goodness. That's not fair.
Yeah, you just have to watch it. It's crazy.
All right. Well, Idalia, I don't know why all the hurricanes that hit us in the last 15 years are I names.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
It depends on how many storms, because it started out with A. Every year it starts out with A.
Tropical storm. You know, Anna, but then it doesn't become a hurricane and they move on to B. I get that.
Correct.
Why is it always a hit on I?
It's that time. It's a Labor Day weekend. Yeah.
Although there was Andrew in 92, right?
Uh-huh.
So that was early.
Yeah. Which.
That was early because that was that we went down there to play the Dolphins in the preseason. That was my first year.
Yeah. You had to remind me about that because I forgot about that.
Pretty sure that was Andrew. Yeah. And that was right after the hurricane had come through and it was like a war zone down there. I'm surprised in retrospect that we went down there and played that game because we're driving the team buses through the streets and we're swerving around trees that are in the streets.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I'm glad I came in because you would have been disappointed. You would have been the only person. When we left last night, Scott and I were the only two here. When we left, it sounds like we have zero
lights. Sounds like we have no lights,
But when we both left last night, I left before Scott did because he was waiting for the final 53 cut. I said, I should come in. I don't know. I have to wait and see. So I rolled in a little bit later on today, and I did notice Scott's car out there immediately.
I think one of the things...
And the only light in the building. This building has glass, and I could see one light on.
Well, I think one of the factors is that neither you nor I have children at home.
Right.
So anybody with kids at home the opportunity to stay home in a situation like this, they're going to take it.
Well, you need to, because usually the schools are closed. And But I kind of chuckled because a lot of stuff is open.
Oh, I did. It seemed to me like most of the restaurants were closed. I saw Taco Bell was open.
Yep.
Was tempted.
PDQ was open. I saw that. A lot of places were.
But that's good. I mean, honestly, if your employees are willing to come in and don't have issues, it would be a good idea to be open.
Yeah.
A lot of people are probably going to be out looking for stuff.
I think it's a case-by-case basis. But I'll say this. You know, the Buck organization is really super because, did you get your text this morning? Are you okay? Mm-hmm. Text one, text two.
Text one if you're okay, two if not.
If you need help and, they're there to assist. So that's pretty cool. That doesn't always happen.
So I guess we should talk about football at some point.
Did anything happen in the last 24 hours?
There are probably also, Jeff, we should point out, there probably are some football side people that are in the building.
Oh, yeah.
The Bucks did cancel practice because players are people, too, that have lives and have things to take care of in situations like this. So there's no practice today. There was originally going to be practice today. Yes, did anything happen in the last 24 hours? Of course they did. The Buccaneers cut the roster from 90 to 53.
Any surprises for you?
I would say the name that was surprising, and this is not meant to be insulting.
No.
It's just that we did not see it coming. Undrafted rookie cornerback Dariq Pitts. And he was one of six undrafted rookies that the Buccaneers kept on their 53-man roster. Six, Jeff.
I know.
I honestly doubt that's ever happened before. I tried to look it up and found it to be prohibitively difficult to look this up.
Is there like anywhere, like in the NFL, that many?
Somewhere, maybe the Rams.
I don't know. When you have that, it's usually a rebuilding process. But I don't feel like we're in a rebuilding process.
It's weird, but you can understand why somebody might think so. Exactly. Like, if you talk about the Rams, I didn't look at their 53-man roster, but like roughly 40% of their roster was rookies this year. They brought in like 27 undrafted rookies just because they
need bodies.
They lost a bunch of players and they had no cap room. They signed like one or two mid-level players in free agency and that was it. And they lost like Jalen Ramsey, of course, others that I can't come that don't come to mind right now.
Yeah, they went all in, won their Super Bowl, and then
they had to pay, and they didn't have a lot of
cap room.
Draft picks either.
Well,
earlier they had a lot of draft picks. I think they drafted let me see real quick. I think they drafted like 15 guys.
Yeah, I think that's the difference between we had a lot of draft picks and we utilized them, but I think it's the undrafted people
14.
That we signed.
That's the story.
That is truly the story.
The story. And I tried for a little bit and realized I didn't think I could say with authority the answer is correct. So I'm just going to go on. I don't think this has happened before.
No.
Six undrafted rookies.
Well, either way, it's unusual that it does happen.
And since they also kept seven of their eight 2023 draft picks, that means 13 rookies on the 53-man roster.
Yeah.
Which seems like a lot.
We used to be an old team.
Yeah. Yeah, we were. And it worked. I mean, we went with that with your Tom Brady's and Gronks of the world. But here's the thing. You said it. And I would not be surprised if a lot of media out there interprets the Buccaneers keeping six undrafted rookies as being, because the roster was barren.
Right.
But we don't think so.
No, I don't think it was.
You've still got and four of those are on defense, but you still got a ton of legitimate NFL star-powered players on defense. Mm-hmm. Antoine Winfield, Vita Vea, Shaq Barrett, Levante David, Devin White, Carlton Davis, Jamel Dean.
Mm-hmm. Evans, Godwin.
I was talking about just the defense.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a good defense.
Yeah.
You know, it's also got the last two first picks we made, Logan Hall and Kalijah Kancey. I didn't want to say first round
And you
picks.
Got, and don't forget Will Golston.
Will Golston's back.
Yep.
I didn't want to say our last two first round picks because we actually traded down and took Logan Hall with the first pick in the second round 2 years ago or last year. But still, the first pick we made in 2022 was Logan Hall.
And I'm still waiting to see Kancey. I can't wait to see
that. The
first
one's good.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's back this week. Or maybe they hold him out for the rest of this week and start him up next week.
Yep.
So it's not a talent drain. What it is, if you're willing to accept the words of Coach Bowles in particular, but the coaches overall, and I am, they happened upon a really exciting rookie class, including the undrafted guys.
Yeah.
And this isn't something that caught us totally by surprise because Todd Bowles has said on multiple occasions dating back to the early days of training camp that he was really excited about this group of rookies and thought there was opportunities for more than a few
to make the team.
Undrafted guys to make the team. And he said it several other times throughout the course. He didn't change his message. And sure enough, so of those six, the one that we didn't see coming was Dariq Pitts.
No.
I'll read all the others, and we will recognize them as guys that have been talked up at one point or another during camp. Jeff, this is the guy. This is the classic case of the coaches and the team and the football side purposely
coming together,
not saying this guy's name.
Yeah.
They realized I think they must have realized early on they really liked this guy and they didn't want to let other teams in on this fact.
No.
And so
there's a couple of those guys that they really didn't talk
who started about. At cornerback when we weren't playing our starters. It was undrafted rookie Keenan Isaac, who I think they also like and will probably try to get back on the practice squad.
Correct.
But they didn't start Pitts. Nobody ever talked about Pitts. Mm-hmm. Nobody. I don't think I heard Dariq Pitts' name. And it's, by the way, it's D-E-R-R-E-K, but it's pronounced Dariq.
Dariq, yes.
I think I heard his name by any coach the whole time.
No, he played a little bit, but not much, if I remember right.
But he didn't play early on.
No.
He played at the point of the game where people weren't watching anymore.
Yeah, where it goes, oh, yeah, you got to get those guys
in. And of course, scouts for other teams do watch every minute of every preseason game. But when you're playing in the third and fourth quarter, you're playing with a bunch of other rookies and down the depth chart guys against a bunch of other rookies and down. So it's hard to really evaluate how good you are.
Right.
You know,
right.
I think the guy, I can't think of his name right now, but the player who led the league in receiving this preseason got cut. You know, if you play a lot at the end, you get stats, but it doesn't mean anything in terms of whether you make the team or not.
No, but the good news is you have tape and you may be better than some other players on other teams, so you could get picked up. So that's the important part.
So Dariq Pitts played, at least he finished his college career at North Carolina
Cornerback,
State.
Cornerback, Dariq Pitts.
North Carolina State. The five other undrafted rookies the Bucs kept were wide receiver Rakim Jarrett. We heard a lot about him, saw him make a play.
He is special.
He looks good.
Yeah, he does.
Running back Sean Tucker. We talked about him.
I don't know. He's just so endearing.
Well,
he did well in his opportunities. I'll say that.
Yeah, and he probably would have been drafted if they had not found an previously unknown heart issue at the combine, which has proven to be not an issue.
Yeah.
He's overcome it or whatever. He's not affected.
Whatever it was, it's not a. It's
all
not
it did
affected.
Was kind of mess up his opportunity a little bit. But in the end, he got to choose where he wanted to go.
And that sometimes is huge.
Right. So it probably, if I was a guy waiting for the draft and I was hoping to be drafted in the fourth or fifth round, I would be disappointed that I didn't get drafted. And I think I got a little bit shafted by this whole issue. But if I was a guy that I thought might go in the seventh round, I'd rather just not be drafted.
Well, I think it affects your money, does it not?
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Because if you're drafted, you're prorated.
There's a certain
dollar
number,
amount. Yeah. Right. So I think, you know.
But if you're good enough, you're going to make it in the long run. You're going to
you get that second contract.
The seventh round draft pick might not make the team.
Yeah, but also coming to, that's true. And also coming to the Buccaneers in the running back situation.
That's my point. There was opportunities.
That's a good word. Good word. Opportunities to be able to showcase your talents and get a spot. And he did.
That's my exact point. Yeah. And I got to believe he had more than one offer. In fact, I think when he was at the podium one time during camp, he did affirm that.
Yeah.
So he had some opportunities to go where he wanted to go. And if you're in that position, of course, you look at the depth chart. And if they have four really good running backs, you go, that's going to be tough to make that team.
Yeah.
The Buccaneers may have
four good ones,
but
right
you
now.
You can clearly look at the depth chart and say who knows because Leonard Fournette is gone, and we love Rashad
right,
White.
Right,
everybody
correct.
Has really high hopes for him. Yep. Keyshawn Vaughn hasn't really had that much of an opportunity yet,
right.
And then Chase Edmonds, they like him a lot.
They like him a lot,
but he bounced around a little bit last year.
Yep.
So if I look at that depth chart, I go, I think I might have a shot there. And sure enough, he was right.
He is. He's in.
He made the team.
Right. Well, at least for today.
Yeah, but I think he's going to stick.
Okay.
Jeff's caveat there is to the fact that generally you make your cuts to 53, you look at the waiver wire, maybe there's a couple of more changes, and also you may have made a move or two where you released a veteran, and you might bring him back, but you were trying to get another guy through waivers, that kind of thing. So it's not over, possibly.
No.
It's just the first iteration of the 53-man roster.
It's really a chess match because you have to decide, I really love this guy. Probably go on the practice squad, but if I put him out there, someone else could grab him. So how do I move it around? And there's a few of those.
Marquise Watts.
He is the hidden talent.
Marquise Watts is the I'm still going through the undrafted rookies here. Okay. He's the guy from Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
The other big, there's another guy from Charlotte. He plays for the Steelers. As Alex Highsmith, I think.
Yeah, he's from Charlotte, but he went to some little tiny school.
No, that's the school.
Charlotte is the school? Yes. Is it a university or is it a high school?
It's a college. It's a college. Charlotte. Trying to tell you this.
Division what?
Okay.
Three?
I don't know. I think so. I'm going to look it up. Charlotte.
Out of curiosity, is it in Charlotte?
I'm going to find all of this out for you, Jeff.
Okay. Well, inquiring minds want to know. I'm just asking the questions that the Salty Dogs listeners would ask, you know, because you already have the answers. We're just looking for the questions.
I guess it's technically called University of North Carolina at Charlotte.
Okay. It's a U. Okay.
But they call it Charlotte. Okay.
So it's a state school. Okay. So it's not that small.
They're nicknamed the 49ers. Oh, they do have 30. They have 23,000 undergraduates, so yeah, it's not that small.
Yeah, okay. So, okay, it's UNC Charlotte, like UNC Asheville.
That's what it looks like in this case.
Okay,
cool. Charlotte's 49. So anyway, yeah, the big name, well, there's a few. These are actually pretty recognizable names. Yeah. Alex Highsmith plays for the Steelers.
That.
He's an edge rusher, too. He was a third-round pick, and he had a really good year last year. I think he got paid. Larry Ogunjobi, you've probably heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
Nate Davis.
Okay.
He was a receiver, right?
The
guard. He was a guard. Same thing. Receiver, guard, same thing.
Before the game, the last preseason game, we had a production meeting with Todd, and he was talking about the outside linebacker position, that was a position that they're really going to be paying attention to during that game. So it's interesting to see. And they were really high on Watts.
Watts, yeah.
Yeah, but it was one of those, as you talked about before, we're real high on this guy, but we're not going to talk about this guy.
It's funny because this guy... You know, so we picked up all those undrafted rookies right after the draft, right?
Yeah.
And then we had a rookie minicamp.
Mm-hmm.
And to flesh out a rookie minicamp, because you only have like 7 draft picks and in this case about 20 undrafted free agents.
Yeah.
You want to get to like 50 players there. So you bring in a bunch of guys on tryout contracts. And lots of those guys are rookies that just no team signed after the draft. And Watts was one of those. So not only was he not drafted, he didn't even get signed after the draft. Well, hundreds of guys were getting signed.
Yeah.
So that's where this guy came from. So you would think, wow, Marquise Watts, surely that's a guy they could, if they wanted to put him on the practice squad, they could. But I don't think they were willing to risk it, A, they want him on the active roster.
They did not want to risk it.
The Bucs kept, because of that, they kept 6 outside linebackers, which is a lot. But that goes back to what Coach was saying, that this was the toughest decision to cut down because they had so much talent.
But you also have to remember, too, that Shaq Barrett is coming off an injury.
Yeah, but he's
fully, looking good.
He said he's fully past it.
Right. And Anthony Nelson, you got him.
Cam Gill's coming back from an injury, too.
Cam Gill's coming back. Yaya Dobig, he's in there. And then
Joe.
JTS, that's our...
JTS is the easy way to say it.
It's the easiest way. And Joe, and this is a big year for Joe. He's got to show his stuff.
So they kept 6.
Yep.
Last year out of camp, on the 53-man roster, they kept 4. So that's a big difference.
That's a huge difference.
And here's the thing, Jeff. You can keep 6, but how many are you actually going to play on game day?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
If you look at the snap counts, when we've had 4 healthy outside linebackers in the last few years, going back to like the Jason Pierre-Paul days, Shaq and JPP, and then a couple other guys, the third guy in the rotation played a good amount of snaps. Oh, man, it's raining hard again.
You know what? I was waiting for you to finish your thought, and I said we just got done saying it wasn't a big deal, and right now the palm trees here are going sideways, and the wind and the rain's going sideways right now.
Probably would not have come into the office if it looked like this when I left.
That's called a swell.
Okay.
Okay.
Not swell.
It'll just be coming through, and it'll go away in a very short period of time, but it is pretty heavy right now.
Wow. It's one of those things where the rain's going sideways.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, this looks way more intense than last night.
Yes. Well, you can see it. That's why.
I walked outside my house at like
midnight. Yeah, but you can't. At night, you don't get the
feel. I stood in the rain and actually got wet just for the experience.
Wow.
It wasn't windy, though. Now it is.
No,
okay.
You don't have enough common sense to stay out of the rain? Is that what you're telling me? Wow. All right. That was too easy. So outside linebackers, six of them.
When we've had four healthy guys during the regular season, the first two guys, and part of this was because Shaq and JPP, for instance, really didn't like to come off the field.
Right.
But the third guy played a decent amount, and the fourth guy might get 5 to 10 snaps a game. So are you going to really rotate six guys?
Maybe to keep them fresh.
I mean, that could be the idea.
Yeah.
Of course, you do have to declare. So I would be shocked if we kept six OLBs active on a game.
That'd be fun to watch.
You got to find seven inactives, five inactives.
That's going to be the storyline then.
I would think it probably comes down to special teams. So we know Cam Gill plays special teams.
Yep.
They think Yaya can make a big impact on special teams. Yes. So who gets a helmet, as they say, on game days from amongst these six? Of course, injuries will play a part, and this is great to have the depth to weather that.
Right.
If you recall last year, Shaq got hurt at midseason, and then Carl Nassib got hurt around the start of December.
Yeah.
And for three straight games, Anthony Nelson and Joe Tryon Choyinka played every single snap on defense, which you never see an outside linebacker.
No.
And I think they didn't want to be in that situation again. So you really, I mean, you got Shaq back, you got Cam back, but you also used two draft picks on OLBs and then also found Marquise Watts. So they found depth.
It's like you said, special teams. Watts and Gill are really very good on special
Watts
teams.
Watts is? I don't know that.
Yeah, Marquise, he played special teams. Yeah.
You're aware that he's good on special teams?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So there's your info.
I believe so.
Okay, the other undrafted rookies that we kept, because I think I've named four of them so far, are Kayvon Merriweather and Christian Izian.
Uh-huh.
Both safety.
Izian wins a starting job.
Yeah. I was just about to say, I feel like I'm missing one here, though. There are six of them. Jarrett, Tucker, Watts, Pitts. Okay. Yeah, I got them all.
Winfield?
No, I'm talking about undrafted guys. So
okay.
Christian Izian, listed as a safety.
Yep.
He has won the slot corner job. Now, we might need to change the name of that position.
Well, is it in a safety? Is it considered safety corner slot? Is he considered a safety, though?
No, it's called, the position is called nickel corner or slot corner.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because 99% of the time, at least until recent years.
But I thought he could play both.
Well, just let me finish.
All right.
Probably until recently, 99% of the time, the person you put in your slot corner position, which is what you call the third guy that you bring in, generally it was called the third corner you bring in when they go to three receivers.
Okay.
And he if there's three receivers on the field, generally there's two outside guys, one on each side, and then the other guy is closer to the line. He's in between the outside receiver and the offensive line. He's called a slot receiver, and the guy that covers him is called a slot corner,
right,
like Rondae Barber did.
Yeah.
Rondae had the obviously awesome dual role of playing outside in base package, but then moving into slot and essentially defining what a slot corner is these days.
Yeah.
What the position is now is what Rondae defined it as. That's why he's in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody plays it that way now. And that slot corner generally needs to be able to be quick.
Yeah.
Lateral movement, like, because you're in the, and he also needs to be tough because you're right in the middle of the field in all the trash. He also needs to be a good tackler because you're up on the line of scrimmage, so you're important in run support. And it helps if he's a good blitzer, like Rondae was. And you think of that position as a corner filling that position, but like last year, Antoine Winfield was our guy. It doesn't matter if they're a safety or a corner. Do they have the skills to play that position? And then we call that position slot corner. And my point is, we probably need a different name for that, because if it's safeties playing there, Christian Izian is still a safety by trade and by name, but he's playing slot corner. So maybe we should just call that slot back, something like that.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we'll ask Todd.
So it doesn't seem weird that we list a guy as a safety, but he's your slot corner.
Now it's a perfectly nice day outside.
Yeah, that didn't last very long.
I told you.
You can even see the blue sky.
I just said.
Come to Florida, folks.
It just rolls in. If you don't like the weather, 10 minutes later, yeah, it'll be
exactly
what you want.
If that's what you want out of weather, come here.
It's just the bands rolling in.
I guess that's true.
And they roll in really heavy, hard, and then they're gone. So yeah. There you go.
All right.
All right. So.
And then Kayvon Merriweather, another undrafted safety. So.
And Nolan Turner got cut, but he could come back on the practice squad.
He could.
You know, maybe. You
he
know.
Could. It's possible.
Yeah.
That's what the. But we are recording this on Wednesday, a little after noon. So by the time you're hearing this, the Bucs will probably have already announced their practice squad. I have an idea. I have a pretty good feel for the guys I think they're going to bring back. For instance, I don't think it would surprise anybody if they, assuming he doesn't get signed elsewhere, that they would bring quarterback John Wolford back.
Right.
Because the Buccaneers cut down to just two quarterbacks, which isn't unusual in the league. In fact, I read a story this morning that only 13 teams, at least to this point, kept three quarterbacks on the active roster. There was speculation there would be more this year because of the bringing back the inactive third quarterback role.
Yeah. Which, you know, we talked about that yesterday briefly, you and I, and you had to set me straight because I'm like, that's really a good rule.
It's my favorite thing to do.
And you said, no, you got to be on the 53-man roster. And the more I thought about it, it's not helping me out because if you got to put the guy on, if you got to keep your third quarterback on the roster, what good is that?
Okay.
Why can't you just keep him on the practice squad and he's, you know, you dress him and then if everybody gets hurt, he gets to play, but he doesn't count against you. So you make it like 54.
Well, there are advocates for that.
Well, I'm one of them then.
There are advocates that say this. Well, and the reason being, there was speculation that this bringing back the inactive third quarterback rule would lead more teams to keep a third quarterback on a 53-man roster. And it didn't happen. Only 13, at least so far.
Yeah,
so things can change, but far only 13 teams out of 32 have kept three quarterbacks. And the reason they believe that would be the case, obviously, it springs from the NFC Championship game, and that's where the whole rule coming back
from. Here's a good rule: you get to have 54 active players as long as you have three quarterbacks.
That's not unprecedented,
and that would be good because that would force them to have three. And if you decide you don't want three, then you only have 53.
I guess maybe for salary cap reasons, the NFL has resisted expanding the rosters beyond 53 for years. But what they have done is give you a lot more flexibility by expanding the practice squads and allowing you to call guys up from the practice squad.
That's true.
And also by allowing you to keep up to 48 players active instead of 46 like it used to be.
Yeah.
As long as one of those, it had been 47, and then they made it 48 as long as you kept eight offensive linemen
active. Why don't they just make it so you can have 53 active and be done with it?
There's obviously people. I think
you're paying them anyways.
The reason for that, it goes back to when rosters were expanded.
Whoa.
They used to be 45 and then 47. Mm-hmm. It was basically a compromise. The NFL at the time didn't want to continue the specialization of the game. They didn't want teams to have a lot of specialized players that only do one thing.
Okay.
So, but the raising the rosters to 53 creates more jobs, which obviously the players wanted.
Sure.
And coaches want it too. Yeah. They want more flexibility. So what they did was they increased the roster to 53, but introduced the inactives thing. So you have more jobs and more flexibility, but you still are limited to fewer than 50 players that you can actually play.
Hmm.
That was the compromise. That's how we got to where we are.
Okay.
Now, if you say there are no inactives, the problem there is it can be a little bit of an imbalance for teams that have more injured players.
Okay.
Like you think about the game a few years ago when we went to Carolina and we had...
Yeah, nobody.
We dressed our third quarterback even though we knew he wasn't going to play.
Yeah.
That was Kyle Trask. I think it was 2 years ago. So if you get a little banged up, you might be rolling 45 against 53.
Okay, that's fair.
And I think they want to avoid
That makes sense. That makes sense. All right.
So getting back to where...
Good explanation,
thank
by
you.
The way.
You're welcome. Getting back to where I was going, the third quarterback rule, which did exist in the NFL from, I don't know, like maybe the mid-90s to sometime in around 2010 or something.
Used to circle it on the flip card. He was the
third. Exactly. So you had to name seven inactives, but one of them could be a quarterback who was inactive, but you could put him into the game. But if you did that before the fourth quarter, that meant the other two guys could not come back in. And the new rule has a couple little differences to it. But one of the keys to this rule is that you know how you can elevate guys from the practice squad now, right, and play them in the game. You can't elevate a quarterback from the practice squad for the game and then name him your inactive third. Okay. You could keep him active and have three active quarterbacks, but you can't. So stashing a third quarterback on your practice squad does not help you with the third inactive role.
All right.
So it was thought that this would cause a lot of teams to choose to have a third quarterback so that they could always include him on the 53. So they always include him as one of their inactives, but then they would have that option in case two guys got hurt, which is what happened to San Fran in the NFC Championship game.
Now a practice squad guy, he can get called up until Saturday.
Right.
So he can get called up. I'm just refreshing my mind that, because a lot of times we'd be traveling and then and they would say they're going to activate so-and-so from the practice squad. And that's usually
– and those guys generally –
the latest is Saturday or 24 hours before your game. Is that kind of
roughly.
It?
Roughly.
Okay.
Saturday by 4 if you're playing on Sunday.
All right.
The rules are different if you're playing Thursday or Monday, obviously.
Sure.
I think on Monday you can actually wait until Monday to do it.
Okay.
And same thing on Thursday.
Wow, a lot of rules.
So – anyway, it did not work. So what I'm saying is I have seen advocacy from other people in the media that since this rule did not prompt teams to keep a third quarterback for the most part, that maybe they should have a 54 spot that is just for a quarterback.
Right.
So there are definitely people that feel the way you do.
Well,
I don't think I see the NFL going that way because, again, I don't think they want to expand the roster.
Well, it's always a slow go. You know, it has to be batted around a little bit, float the idea, people get comfortable with it. It's kind of like playing 17 games. You know, they batted that around for a number of years, and then it became 17.
Jeff, it's not like the NFL batted that around and decided whether or not to do it. They got it.
Yeah.
It was a negotiation. They always wanted to go to 17
games. It's going to 18 soon.
You remember when it was 14 games?
Yeah.
And they played 6 preseason games.
I do.
Would you like to go back to those days?
No.
So it's always 20. It's been 20 for forever. Ever. It's just they've...
How you'd count it.
Which ones count.
Sure.
They, of course, want to go to 18. Nobody likes 17.
Yeah.
It's unbalanced.
Right.
But that, if that occurs, which if I were a betting man, which I can't be because I work for the NFL, if I were a betting man, I would...
Wow, you did learn in your training, didn't you?
Fortunately, I'm
just
not...
Just for those that are asking, we have actually gone to, I think, 3 gambling training classes, and basically it was, I don't know, maybe 2.5 hours by all 3 if you added it all up. And basically what the line is, you just can't bet.
Just don't bet.
Yeah, that was...
Fortunately for me...
That's how I walked away. I was like, why didn't they just say you can't do this and done?
Yeah.
Right. But they gave you all these
I do
examples.
Feel for the people, because it is illegal people. So I do feel for the people who enjoy gambling but cannot.
Correct.
I am fortunate that I've never been interested in that.
Yeah, I can take it.
I appreciate it.
Sure.
The people that are good at it, I think it's a skill just like any other, but interested.
Now, have I been to Vegas before? Yes, you know.
You told me the other day your game was
Blackjack.
Blackjack.
But now I don't have a favorite game.
You can play Blackjack, can't
can
you?
I?
I think you can go to casinos.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just kind of like, well, not during
maybe
the
you
season.
Didn't learn anything in those 2.5 hours.
No, I learned one thing. You know what I learned? Just don't gamble.
Don't go to the sports books. You can't go into the sports books.
Correct.
Which I don't even know. I would be interested to see what one of those looks like. I've never even seen one.
It is probably the most fascinating thing.
Is it just like a big room with a lot of TVs
It's a huge room. Not that I've been in it, but
I
I've walked by
I'm
it.
Talking about gambling.
However, you can walk through a sports book if you need to get to the other side.
Is that right?
Yes.
Is that truly a rule?
Yes, but you can't stop.
Could you sit down? Order a drink?
No.
You can just walk through it.
Walk through it.
That's keeping your eyes straight ahead.
Just move it.
Your head down.
We're walking.
I'm not meant to be here.
That's right. But but if you see one, it is very cool because it is a bunch of TVs. And, of course, the cool part about it is that there's always cheering because you can gamble on so many different things, like the coin toss, how long the national anthem is going to be.
Just prop this, bets. Isn't
yeah, just craziness. But you know, it's an industry, but it's not one for NFL employees. So
exactly. So I don't know why we went off on that tangent. But
I don't know.
Just quickly get back and tie a bow on this two quarterback thing.
Okay.
You said, why would a team keep 3 quarterbacks? Why wouldn't they?
Yeah. That's what I was saying.
Why would they? You said just put one on the practice squad.
Well, yeah, you could do that. That's what I mean.
I'm talking about on the active roster.
Yeah, you should not have your third quarterback count against your active roster.
Okay, do you remember the last time we didn't keep 3 quarterbacks on the active roster? It's been a long time, Jeff.
Yeah.
We've been keeping three.
Yeah.
4 years now, because remember how long we had Ryan Griffin?
Right.
Something like 6 or 7 years?
Yeah.
He was on the active roster almost all that time until the last 2 years.
What a great career he had.
And then the last couple of years, we've kept three because they wanted Blaine Gabbert to be the backup to Tom Brady, but they also wanted to keep Kyle Trask for what came to be there this year when he was competing for the job.
Right.
And I think we've probably did we talk since the last game? This is our first one since.
Yeah, we had one. We had one before.
Wait, wasn't the game on Saturday though? Baltimore?
Yeah. But we had one before we went to New Jersey.
Okay, we did but a Salty Dogs. Had one since the last game.
No.
Kyle did a good job.
He did a great job.
We saw in the Jets game when he started, and then Wolford came in, and then Wolford got hurt. Kyle went back in. We have talked about this. I think most people in the media accurately viewed this as not playing Baker meant they were pretty close to deciding he was the starter.
Fair.
And that has essentially been confirmed.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because both Todd, I think in the meeting you were in, and then Dave Canales when he met with the media last week?
Yes.
Or no.
Before the Baltimore game, yes.
At the beginning, whatever.
Last week.
He after it was decided that Kyle, that Baker got the job, Kyle, they said they were very pleased with what Kyle did. And Dave Canales specifically said they feel like he is an NFL starting caliber quarterback. So
he made leaps and bounds. And in fairness to Kyle Trask, I would say, and it was just the way the situation was because of you had three quarterbacks and he was the fourth. He didn't get the reps. How are you going to get reps in practice, you know, when Tom was
during
here?
During the last 2 years.
During the last couple of years, yes. In fairness to him, I would say he is truly a rookie this year.
In a way.
And he was given opportunities to take reps and given opportunities to play in the preseason game, and he showed that he has something. So that's a plus.
They said he has improved by leaps and bounds.
I would agree.
And I would agree that I feel much better about Kyle if we need him to go in a game than I did before this offseason.
Yes.
And he really did a good job.
And as he has more confidence, and it is showing to his counterparts of his confidence in the locker room.
Right. He's gained a lot of respect.
Wow, I didn't know that about this guy, that type of thing, you know, because he's now interacting where before it was kind of hard because of the situation. So that's exciting. You have to be excited if you're a Buck fan that at least there's a couple quarterbacks you feel good about. I have no idea who that was.
They just walked by and looked in.
I don't know. So good for him. And interesting part about him is in high school, he was told he couldn't play. In college, he told he could play.
Wait. He had to walk on,
yes.
Right? And then he had to wait forever.
Then he had to wait forever.
And
he did great. And so it seems like that is MO. But we've had him on after the game a couple times, and he's been very gracious to talk to us. And you can just hear it in his voice. You can hear the confidence.
He's found his voice a little bit.
Yeah.
Right?
You ask him a question, and he gives you a legitimate answer of what he was seeing and how he was seeing it. And as he said, the more he does it, the more comfortable he is getting, which, hey, that's anything.
Of course, right?
Right,
yeah.
So,
no, that was a very good development.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, Baker Mayfield is the starter. And just to go off on another tangent here.
Sure.
We were talking about this yesterday, Jeff. Every single review or analysis of the Bucs that you read from like national media is exactly the same. Whether it's you're hearing it on a podcast or you're reading it or you're reading a ranking, you know, we're generally, when they do power rankings, we're down there around 29 or 30.
You're sure.
And they all say the same thing. Hey, the Bucs actually have a pretty talented roster.
Yes.
They still have a lot of talent on,
right.
on this team.
But
we don't think they have a quarterback.
No.
So, therefore, 30th.
Yeah.
No chance. 3 or 4 wins. Maybe in line for one of the top 2 quarterbacks coming out next year. I tell you, go read or listen to anything from national media right now. about the Bucks, and it'll sound exactly like that.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. We saw last year, Seattle.
I was just going to say,
Geno Smith.
Google Seattle 2022 and look at what the stories are.
They traded Russell Wilson to Denver. Mm-hmm. So the common belief was that Denver was going to be awesome because they had a good defense, and now they got Russell Wilson.
Yep.
They were terrible. Russell Wilson had a terrible season.
Head coach didn't last a full year.
Geno Smith, the journeyman, who had started like three games over the previous 6 years or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Okay, they had the same thing. Okay, they've got some talent on this roster.
Sure.
They did have offensive line question marks, which were answered amazingly by the fact that they were able to draft two guys that step right in at starting tackle and were very good. And they also got the cornerback, whose name I'm blanking on right now, but he was awesome as a rookie. But still, the Seattle's not going anywhere because no matter how much talent on the roster, they don't have a quarterback.
Right.
Because nobody believed in Geno Smith.
Correct.
Geno Smith was great. Seattle made the playoffs. So, why is it so hard to believe? Now, we don't know that Baker Mayfield's going to do the exact same thing. No. You and I are clearly hopeful.
Sure.
I don't see why it seems out of the realm of possibility because we've actually seen him do well.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is that Geno Smith didn't have to carry the team. He just had to execute the plan. And he says, Geno Smith says that it's a different comfort level, knowing that I got to make this play. It's like,
and Baker's in the same position.
I'm going to take what you give me. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to roll out. I mean, you can see it.
Look, I'm not here to tell anybody out there who doesn't believe in Baker Mayfield.
No.
To change your mind.
No, you're not going to.
So all I'm saying is if you're wrong and Baker Mayfield is good, mm-hmm. we're not even talking about great here.
No.
If he's good.
Serviceable.
Can't the Buccaneers, doesn't seem like the Bucs would be much better than everybody is predicting them to be?
I will say this. Last year, the predictions were so high, and everyone has kind of forgotten that, unfortunately, it's only 8 wins.
Yeah.
You won the NFC South, but it was only 8 wins, and it was a struggle.
It was
up and down.
Had to make a couple late comebacks.
Now, you did have Tom Brady, and in the heart of hearts,
it's raining.
I know. In your heart of hearts, you always were like, we still got a chance. We still got a chance. So this year, the naysayers are out there. The expectation.
Which is
I've
fine.
Seen Sports Illustrated said 3 wins.
Sports Illustrated?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even know they still existed. But they came out and said, we being the Buccaneers, have 3 wins. Not that I do this, but I do read a lot. So the over-under for us, if in Vegas, the over-under is 6.5.
Oh, that's
wins.
Higher than I would have thought, actually.
Yeah. So it'll be a fun year in the aspect of if we do well, then it's like, cool. You know, are you going to sneak? You know, people go, well, they're going to sneak up on team. You don't sneak up on anybody in the NFL. However, you can play better than people anticipate. And I think I'm hoping.
The only thing
that's the case.
The only thing that's unfortunate for the Bucs when you talk about the division is that, they only won 8 games last year.
Yep.
But we won the division.
Correct.
First place means we play the first place teams in those divisions that we're matched up against. So, who is that this year? We're playing the entire NFC North and the entire AFC South. So everybody in our division plays those 8 teams. So that's fair. Jacksonville, Indy, so on, Tennessee. But we have to play the first place team from the AFC East, which is Buffalo.
Uh-huh.
Whereas somebody else, I don't know what order they all finished in, but somebody else gets to play New England.
Right.
You know, we have to play
Jacksonville.
We have to play Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that might not actually be. No.
That may not be so bad.
No, I'm sorry. That's the division we're already playing.
Okay.
The extra games are Buffalo, San Francisco.
Yeah.
So we have to play San Fran. Somebody else in our division plays
Buffalo in Buffalo.
Somebody else in our division plays Arizona or the Rams.
Yeah.
And then the other one is it's got to be an AFC team.
Well, listen.
Wait, did I already said Buffalo? So it's got to be.
Well, we're playing Jacksonville. Were they on our list?
They're on everybody's list because we're playing the whole NFC South.
Okay.
AFC South.
All right.
Oh, the Eagles. We have to play the Eagles.
Sure.
We have to play the Eagles. Somebody else gets to play Washington
or the Giants. But here's the thing. You don't know who's going to be good or who's going to be bad.
I think I know that the Eagles are going to be good.
You would think.
They're going to be good. And San Fran's going to be good. Unless Brock Purdy, you know, turns into a pumpkin.
You mean it struck midnight and it's all over with? Well,
he certainly wasn't a pumpkin against us. Oh, my gosh, did he rip us up.
No, no.
And then just kept on a roll.
But, all right. So
back to the Bucs.
Yeah, what else you got?
Well, one thing I've got is if there's any position that you should feel more confident about after that last game, it's kicker. He was money.
Hey, you know, everybody was going, why are you taking a timeout? Why are you doing this? And it was situation.
That was two games ago. But
okay. No. In this particular game, we took the timeout because we did the two-minute drive at the end, and we wanted to put pressure on him on the long field goal. Okay. Remember when the clock was running out?
Yeah.
So that was a situation where we were trying to see how well this guy's going to do. And he was money, as you said.
He made all four.
All four.
And two extra points.
Todd, in an interview during Bucs Radio, we were talking about how he made a decision on the kicker, and he goes, that's the easiest decision you make in football. Either a guy kicks or he can't kick. If he can't kick, I'm going to talk to you. If I'm talking to you, that's not good. And I kind of stopped it. It was like, you know, that kind of makes sense, you know.
That reminds me of the old.
Either you make it or you don't.
The old, you know how there's all those great John McKay stories?
Uh-huh.
Because he was so witty and he had all the great one-liners. Do you remember the one about the kicker? I'm trying to look it up now so I can...
You mean Capice is Caput?
It might have been Capice. He was famous for saying to the kicker... The kicker said something like...
I know it.
The kicker said something like it made him nervous that John McKay was there. And he said, well, I got bad news for him. I plan on coming to every game.
Yes. Yeah. He did say Capice is Caput.
I think its most famous one is, what do you think of your team's execution, coach? I'm in favor of it.
He was very witty.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny. Rich McKay is very witty, too. So apple, acorn, whatever.
Does anybody say the acorn didn't fall from the tree?
I don't know.
Fall from the tree? Who says that?
I did.
And honestly,
what?
The whole idea is you want the acorn to get farther away from the tree so it has its own room to grow.
And what about the apple?
That's why they want, that's why you want acorns to be eaten by like a squirrel or something. And then.
Right. What about the apple?
The apple doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
You're not trying to grow. The apple. Well, I guess it's the same.
Johnny Appleseed.
But people pick up, we eat the apples. I guess it's the same concept.
Thank you.
They need to get away from the trees.
Thank you.
That's why I love those seeds that are like little spinners.
Yeah.
Because they fall off the tree and then they spin through the air and it gets farther away from the tree.
Whirly birds.
Why are we talking about this? I don't know.
I have no idea. What else you got?
Another guy.
Specialist, we got those in.
Another guy that we weren't talking about much, but we kind of knew that the team loved and is Mike Green.
Yes.
The defensive lineman who was an undrafted free agent last year.
They love him.
Spent the year on the practice squad and apparently has, like Kyle Trask, improved leaps and bounds.
He did. In fact, we were, again, in a production meeting. This is before the Jets game, and Gene was with us. No, it was before our first game, and Gene asked about him at the very end, just kind of like, hey, what about this Mike Green guy? And Coach was like, they loved him. I've been hearing that. Yeah.
Those are the guys. Yeah. So he basically.
It seems like all of a sudden the light went on for a number of players.
He essentially made it over Pat O'Connor, who
is a good dude.
And I also thought he would make the team again because he's just special always been teams. So good on special teams. But he might be back in the practice squad. But for now, Pat O'Connor's. Mike Green's over him and Deidre Sanat.
Yep. Both of them were released.
Is it Deidre?
Or Deidre?
Deidre Sanat. Any case. Mike Green made it over those guys, so that's interesting. The only other thing I got written down here that I wanted to talk about was I thought Rashad White, who finally got to play in the preseason in this last game, looked really good.
He did.
And I still don't think we've seen most of the plays we're going to use, but he was making – what you want out of your running back is to make more yards than are there.
How about
for
your
average guy?
How about the offensive line? Did you see any surprises there?
No.
Okay.
I think I heard afterwards that Cody Mock and Luke Getteke fared well, which is what you're concerned about, right? You feel good about Tristan. Robert Hainsey, of course, is probably now your starting center with Ryan Jensen going on injured reserve.
We asked Baker Mayfield about that because after the game, well, during the Baltimore game last Saturday, it was announced that Ryan Jensen was going to go on IR. So, of course, that became the immediate big story. And talking with Baker, he said some really nice things about Hainsey and the comfort level he has with Hainsey. And I think that's huge because if a quarterback is not comfortable with you, that's not good.
Of course.
And so they seem to, because they've been practicing so much together, there seems to be a rhythm there. And I think that's huge.
Well,
Cody is a mean person.
On the field.
On the field. Nicest guy off the field. mean on the field.
Person.
Yes. It's that redhead stuff. I don't know what that is. I don't know. If you're a ginger, you have two personalities.
Yeah. Okay. Table that discussion because we're going to get back to it when I get to the fans' questions.
Oh, okay.
So we don't have a guest today, but we do have good number of fan questions.
Oh, great.
So
you want to go do those?
Real quick.
What else you got?
One other thing that I was a bit surprised by after the cuts was they only kept five receivers.
Mm-hmm.
They have generally gone with six.
Yep.
Sometimes even for a little while, seven, depending on injuries or if one of the guys is a kick returner.
Yeah. And Rakim Jarrett, Devin Tompkins.
And Trey Palmer.
Trey Palmer.
We have to talk about Trey Palmer. He did it again. It wasn't a touchdown this time, but that guy makes a highlight reel catch every game.
I don't know. I have a question for you. There was a pass Trask threw. And I thought it was going to Geiger, and Palmer came across and
caught it. You mean the one where he like leaped over the defender?
Yeah, and so I saw someone tweet out Trask intercepted by Palmer, and it made me laugh because I looked at I kept thinking he wasn't supposed to be the guy.
You don't think he was supposed to
catch
that ball? Wow,
I still don't. But what I want to do, and because of the weather and everything, no one's and because of the cuts, but I am going to go ask. I want to go find out.
Was he the intended
who
receiver?
Was that,
Regardless, it was a stunning catch.
Yes. Yeah.
And he keeps doing that.
Yeah, I like his.
He's also very confident.
Yeah. Oh, yes, he is. I do like his philosophy. See the ball, catch the ball.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty basic.
I was listening to something on our website, maybe the video that we put up with the rookies talking about various things, which is funny. And I think it was probably, maybe it was the guy when mic'd up, but he was saying that Trey Palmer talks so much trash.
Yeah. Oh, I could see it.
Just so much trash.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the kind of confidence we're talking
about.
Sure. But still, it's a little strange. I would have lost on this one because I felt they were going to keep David Moore because, A, he's got experience where Devin Tompkins, Trey Palmer, and Rakim Jarrett have virtually none combined. And he also, I thought he had a good preseason. Again, you never know.
I think this is just me.
He did have a drop, I think.
Yeah. I think is they feel like he's going to get through the waiver wires.
I do
the
think
waiver wire,
I do
and
think
they can bring him
keep
back.
Him on the practice squad. But I just thought they'd keep six on the active roster.
Yeah.
And again, the roster's never final, so you never know what's going to happen.
Right, there you go.
But I would have lost on that one because I would have bet that he would make it.
Any surprises on tight ends for you?
No, those are the four I expected. Okay. David Wells really did a good job.
He did.
There's nothing really, beyond only keeping five and only keeping two quarterbacks, nothing really was terribly surprising to me in terms of numbers. Six outside linebackers is a lot, like I said, but I just felt like they were going to do that.
Yeah.
Just because they had so many players they like there. This is not a surprise, but the safety position behind your starters is two undrafted rookies.
Yeah.
Now, part of that, I think, and you would probably notice this if you paid attention during the game, when Winfield didn't play in this last preseason game, it wasn't one of those two guys that started. It was D. Delaney.
Yeah.
So D's versatility, maybe Josh Hayes is seen as having safety versatility as well. Those guys' versatility makes the safety position maybe not as thin as it looks.
3-3-D is fascinating.
3-D.
Yeah. Woo. You see what I just did there?
We're going to get back to that in the questions, too. You want to go to those?
Yeah. You know, remember how we said we're doing a condensed version of Salty Dogs?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're at 53 minutes.
All these guests do is get in the way of me talking.
Well, that's true, and I keep telling you that. You go, we got to get a guest.
I think the fans like to hear from players.
Well, yes, if we can find one that's interesting.
There's nobody in the building.
Here comes the rain again. Look at this. Isn't it amazing?
Falling on my head like a tragedy.
Oh.
Falling on my head like a new emotion.
Oh, wow. Raindrops keep falling on my head.
Oh, you went farther back.
Oh, way back. Yeah. That's Butch Cassidy at Sundance. Good.
All right. Here's the first question from Phil. Who I think we've had questions from before. And I wonder if he's trying to fake me out and make me say this wrong, or if he actually misspelled the name of his own town, because it's obviously supposed to be Spokane, but he spelled it with the N and the K reversed, so it says Sponake, Washington.
Is it Spokane or Spokane?
I think it's pronounced Spokane.
Okay.
So maybe Phil will write in.
Is it Oregon or Oregon?
I say Oregon.
Okay.
Although when you say Oregon Trail, it feels like you say Oregon Trail, but when I say
I think it's Oregon, too.
Anyway.
All right.
I'm sure I would. This is either a typo or he's trying to catch me, but you didn't catch me, Phil.
No. Nope.
I know it's not Sponake, Washington. It's Spokane.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Scott and Jeff. First of all, thank you, Scott, for giving me a tool to realize how little I know about things I thought I knew pretty well. That Immaculate Grid is a serious mental challenge. So I hooked at least one person.
He did like that.
I hooked at least one.
Wow.
Cardinal. Now, I don't know if he's talking about the baseball one or the football one, or maybe he does both of them. I started them this morning.
Look at that. You're influencing minds. I like it.
There was today's grid, and this is no spoiler because this won't go up till tomorrow, and then there'll be a new grid. But in baseball, the right column was 300 players who had a 300-plus career batting average. For the Orioles, Astros, and Padres, I went Roberto Alomar, Jose Altuve, and Tony Gwynn. Mm-hmm. Those were all correct. And then in football, the right column was players that had 1,000-yard rushing seasons. So who would you say for Washington? You got nothing?
I don't.
You couldn't even think of like Clinton Portis?
Yeah, see, I wouldn't. See, I was thinking Washington as in the Seahawks.
Yeah, they're not called the Washington
Seahawks. No, I know.
I went with Alfred Morris because I just remember when he and Doug Martin were both rookies.
Uh-huh.
And Alfred Morris had a huge season.
Yeah.
But I think Doug Martin got the rookie team spots, and all the Washington fans were mad about that. Alfred Morris's career didn't go far after that.
Yeah.
One of the things that they had in 2012 was Robert Griffin.
Yes.
And they were on the forefront of the zone read. So the zone read made it a great opportunity for the running backs because it wasn't 11 on 10 like it usually is defense because the quarterback's not a player that will have the ball in his hand.
Right.
But RG3 had the zone read and might be running the ball, so it was more like 11 on 11, which made it easier for running backs. For Cleveland, 1,000-yard rushing season?
Jim Brown.
Thank you. And then obviously Nick Chubb would work too. And then for the Rams?
As a running back, Dickerson.
Okay, that's good. That's good. I went with Marshall Faulk.
Oh, okay.
They had a lot of good options. You could have gone with Todd Gurley very recently.
Yeah.
Anyway, his question. Question time. What are you looking forward to most this season? I personally am excited to see how creative Dave, that's our OC, Dave Canales, can get with the tools we have here. I truly believe that the people outside of One Buck aren't giving us a shot, and I think we're going to pleasantly surprise a lot of people. Thanks for reading and stay salty. Phil from Sponake, Washington.
Okay.
Do you want to answer? Do you want me to go first?
Go ahead.
What are you most excited about?
I'm most excited to see what the O-line does.
Okay.
I'm most excited to see that it's in like an A, B. I want to see how the offensive line is and then see how the running game is.
Okay.
Because I truly believe if the running game gets going, watch out.
I am most excited to see and I'm going to say this word and it's not correct and I'll explain why, a huge rebound season from Mike Evans. Now, Mike isn't rebounding from anything because once again last year he had over 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
But if you follow fantasy at all, he's like the forgotten guy.
Mm.
He's dropping way down mostly because he only had 6 touchdowns last year, and 3 of those came in week 17,
right,
when most teams weren't even playing anymore. But that's I think it's going to be different this year. I think he's going to get more downfield action, which he wasn't getting last year.
None.
He's looked amazing in training camp.
He seems like he's...
I just think he's
excited.
There's a chance he's back to like being a 1,300, 1,400-yard guy and with 10 to 12 touchdowns this year. In which case, all those people who draft him in the 6th and 7th round are going to be loving life. So that's my answer.
All right. I like it.
All right.
That's a good one.
This is from Mike Cordell in Branford, Florida.
Okay.
We've heard from him before, too.
All right.
Ahoy, salty ones. First off, I'd like to say I'm very excited to know you're back every week. I look forward to you two on a consistent basis again. It's always a good way to get your question in.
Sure.
But thank you. That's very nice.
Yes, it's very nice.
I just listened to this week's episode, and it was great as usual. Love the nickname, by the way, Scott.
Ah, boom! Boom!
That nickname is D3D Delaney, because he plays three positions.
I like it.
I have a thought about who the nickel could be and wanted to hear your thoughts on it. It's no secret that our secondary has had some injuries the last couple of years. For that fact, do you think Zion would be better at slot since 3D is a more versatile player? Trying to help you push the nickname, he says. Thank you. Appreciate that. Coach Bowles could, to a point, plug and play him and even have special packages for him. Are my thoughts on that accurate? Well, I would say that Zion was named as a guy that was in the running when the offseason began for that spot. But
however,
I don't remember ever seeing him get a single snap in there.
I don't think he did.
They focused on him playing the outside and felt like he's made big strides there. Of course, he's blocked a little bit for playing time until and unless there are injuries to Carlton
Davis. I'm curious if he likes the outside better.
My thought is that he's more built like an outside corner.
Yeah.
He's big. Mm-hmm. He's really fast, so he's got catch-up speed on the deep ball. He should be able to play physically because he's a big guy.
Yeah.
That you don't normally see the much bigger. If they profile like big and fast like Jamel Dean, you play him on the outside.
Yeah.
To me, he looks and seems like an outside corner.
I like the creative thinking, though.
But he's right. Maybe Coach
will
come up with some different packages to get him involved.
What else?
They just told us that if we need a hotel room, they've got some available.
Oh,
we're talking about how nice they were.
Unfortunately, I think it's because some people are in a flood zone area.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, I'm glad they're helping them.
Yeah.
So no, I don't anticipate that happening. And you know, look at Christian Izian. He's a shorter guy.
Uh-huh.
Who can, you know, you're generally also not going up against the biggest receivers in the slot. Like Chris Godwin is a really big slot receiver. Mm-hmm. Most of them aren't that big.
Right.
But you got to be quick and be able to make, you know, lateral movements really quickly. I think that's more like Izian or D. Delaney or something like that. Okay, and he has another question.
Okay.
I have one further question since we now know it's time to bake this year.
Oh.
With Geno Smith winning the comeback player of the year last year, coming back from the bench, if Baker does really well this year after everything he has gone through, do you think he could win it this year?
Yes.
There's one more sentence to this question, but I want you to answer it before that.
Yes. If he performs well and the team performs well and gets into the playoffs, yes, he'll be comeback player of the year.
And now I'm going to turn back to Mike for his last sentence where he will explain to you why you are wrong.
Okay.
Or do you think it's a lock as soon as DeMar Hamlin steps on the field for the first time?
Well, yes.
It's a lock.
I will say.
And he made the team, by the way.
I was just going to say, he did make the team.
Which is awesome.
Right.
And I will not begrudge him winning
comeback
player of the year over.
I almost said yes, unless there's someone out there that I'm not thinking of.
No chance. If DeMar Hamlin just plays this season.
He's got it.
He's got it, and deservedly so.
Sure, come on.
So you answered your own question there, Mike. I think there's 0% chance that anybody else would win that award if DeMar plays.
I will say this. If Baker plays well, he'll be the runner-up.
He'll be in the running.
Yeah, he'll be the runner-up.
When they're talking about the candidates, he'll be mentioned.
Yeah,
and nobody's beating
him. And they'll say, if it wasn't for him, for Hamlin, he would have gotten it. But that is great news. Yeah, I did see that he made the team. I saw that this morning in Buffalo, in case you didn't know where he was. Go ahead.
I feel like I'm missing one because, oh, there it is. Okay. I got two more, man.
Okay.
Okay, this one's from Don Little in Orlando, Florida. I'm pretty sure we've not heard from this person before.
All right.
So that's cool. Unfortunately, and you'll see what I'm going to talk about, normally I would have gone down and gotten an official answer on this from probably Mike in the equipment room, but nobody's here today, and nobody was here yesterday. I honestly didn't go down there, but I don't think they're there.
I don't know.
Any case, first off, I really enjoy your podcast. You guys truly do an outstanding job. Thank you very much, Don. I wish I could say that I was an exotic international listener like your regulars from Brazil, Australia, Germany, etc.
Yeah, but you're, listen, you're in Orlando.
That's kind of exotic.
That's an international city.
Yeah, you've probably seen all kinds of people from other countries.
Sure. Yes, that's an international city now. Continue.
But alas, I am just up the road from you in Orlando. However, I'm a faithful listener nonetheless.
Good.
Since you asked for questions, and we did, Jeff, you're supposed to remind me to.
I know. I'm gonna do like I used to do. We used to make little cards before any show started, so you would know what to hold it up. Yeah.
What I'm saying is, I should have said at the beginning, in case people didn't make it this far, we love your questions. Send questions about anything, anything at all. It doesn't have to be the Bucks, although you know those are obviously
something on your mind. We'll answer it.
You can call. You can write. Nobody wrote in to tell Jeff that he was wrong about golf.
You have love issues. We can talk about that.
That's probably not going to happen.
Dr. Johnny Fever here. Go ahead.
If you want to send us questions, send them to saltydogs@buccaneers, which has two C's and two E's, but only one N. .nfl.com. Don't forget the .nfl in the middle. Okay. His question. I would like to revisit a question Scott received in research last year. A listener essentially asked Scott why the NFL did not require players to wear knee pads. After researching the matter, Scott advised us that the NFL does indeed require players to wear knee pads. This piqued my interest since I thought I had seen many players without knee protection. As a result, I started paying closer attention to this for the remainder of the 2022 season. Now, if you recall, I did go down and ask Mike this question.
You
Mike
did.
Myrick and the equipment. And he said, you know, they all do wear knee pads. In fact, they're sewn into their
pants. Yeah.
But he says, well, what happens is they sometimes they wear them higher, so not really on the knee.
Mm-hmm. But they're there.
But they're there.
Yes.
But this is a relevant and reasonable question.
All right.
What I observed, and he sent in a picture of Rashad White, and sure enough, he's running there, and his total knee is exposed, and the knee pad is sitting about 6 inches up on his thigh.
Yeah.
Okay, so I can't deny that that happens because he has photo evidence of it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, many players wear pants that don't even touch their knees. Some of the knee pads are small and are actually situated above the knee. It really makes one wonder what real protection these knee pads offer. And that's fair. On the picture I just saw, I don't know how that pad is doing Rashad any favors.
Sure.
But they're supposed to wear them over their knees, Jeff. And there's uniform police.
It starts out that way.
Yeah, and it may just be
because of the way he's running or
it rides up.
Yeah.
Sometimes we've seen him in the press box. They'll call down the sideline and say, tell this player to pull his socks up or something like that.
Right.
So it could be. Like, there's two other players in this picture that where I can see their knees, and their knee pads are farther down, and there's a connection from their knee pads to their socks. That's what the league doesn't actually want exposed knees. They have strict uniform policies, and you can get fined for this.
Sure, but I think it's like anything else. If it rides up on you during a game, you may not realize it, you know. And don't forget, when you take a photo, that's a freeze frame of that particular moment.
Yeah, but this is pretty clearly at this moment. Yeah, but could it be maybe when he started this run, his pants were down here, and then as he ran, it rode up.
That's possible.
And it's also possible that after this play, somebody came up to him and said, hey, you know, pull your socks up and your pants down.
Right.
So that it's connected. But it's a valid point, and I do think if you can't just go running around the whole game with your knees exposed or you'll get fined.
Yeah.
So you may have caught him there, but that's not the way that they're supposed to wear.
But we'll circle back down to the equipment during the week and just have a conversation.
See what they
think. Those guys are really
Don
good
says,
about it.
Keep, yeah, they're very helpful. Keep up the great work, says Don. Thank you.
All
right. And this last one is from Mike in Connecticut, who we've heard from before.
Okay.
Hey, dogs. Great to hear you guys again. I thought I sent this in for last week, but apparently had some issues locating my send button.
Ooh.
I'll chalk that up to preseason jitters. Okay.
Oh, that's very
it's
pretty
preseason
good.
For like all it. Of us. I really only had one easy question last week.
All right.
But now with the news of Ryan Jensen, I'm wondering how you think the front office will handle the O-line this year. I'm a huge Notre Dame fan. Okay. So, you know, everybody has their faults. You know, I'm sure Mike's a nice guy, but like many, many others.
Wow.
I'm not a Notre Dame fan.
Ooh.
So I love Robert Hainsey, but we do love Robert Hainsey.
We do.
And I definitely think he's got the mean streak in him that will make up for some of that fire the offense just lost. He means without Ryan Jensen.
Yeah.
Here comes the rain again.
Yeah. But don't forget, you didn't have Ryan Jensen all last year.
True.
So,
but last year didn't go so great.
Well, that's true.
And we've changed almost every starting spot on the offensive line.
We have. There's only one from the Super Bowl, is it not? Isn't it?
There's none. In the same spot.
Yeah, oh, in the same spot, yes.
But there's not even from starting. It's funny because wow. Robert Haynes in the starting lineup,
yeah.
Presumably because Ryan, unfortunately, is out. He's the only guy that was in the same spot as he was week one last year.
Wow.
Because it was Tristan on the right side. Yeah. It was Donovan Smith at left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Shaq Mason at right guard. And Luke Getteke started the season at left guard. Now Luke's at right tackle.
Right.
Shaq's in Houston.
Which may be his
Donovan's
more natural.
Kansas City.
Yeah. Natural
position. How about the nice soft landing for Donovan Smith? He had the great career here. He was released largely for salary cap reasons,
yeah.
Which was a move everybody saw coming. But as he left, you thought, man, that guy just held down one of the most important positions on our team for 8 seasons.
Yeah.
So great career for him. But then he gets cut. Ends up freaking protecting the blind side of Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
That's a nice landing.
Yeah.
So good for him.
Yeah, he had an interesting tweet about playing at Arrowhead Stadium and like
just rocks.
I guess
he's played there before.
Yeah, but not on the home team. So yeah. I always wish Donovan well. He's a good
dude. Of course. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And starting for Kansas City is a nice start. Okay, he says, with all the injuries last year, do you think Jason Light overcompensates and picks up multiple free agent linemen after the roster cuts, or do you see any big name linemen that could find a home in Tampa? I don't think he's going to do that.
No, and if you have a big name lineman available at this stage, you got to ask why. Because if you got a good lineman or you're comfortable with your guy, in Donovan's case, like you were saying, part of it was cap money issue. But, everyone goes, well, just go get alignment. You know, they're not out there. The good ones are already taken. You got to groom them.
I don't think he'll do that because I think they have two guys they like well enough at center since you have Haynes and Nick Leverett. And I also think Aaron Stinney can play that position. So I think they feel like they've got enough depth there. And like you said, there's not like a Pro Bowl center that's going to get cut.
No.
And also, we don't have a ton of cap space to go signing guys willy-nilly.
Right.
To big contracts, at least. So, no, I don't think they'll do that. And if you're talking, you mentioned it earlier, if you're talking about bringing fire to the offensive line, you got Cody Mock now.
Yes.
Who everybody compares in temperament on the field to Ryan Jensen.
Total. I saw Tristan, and we were talking, and I made a comment about the switchover, how he was doing, and we talked a little bit about it. And I said, you're going to be the next Paul Gruber. And he goes, you're going to be our next Paul Gruber. And I said, you probably don't know who that is. And he goes, number 74. There's a picture down the hall.
It's good when you know the history.
I know. I loved it. Yeah. I loved it. You know,
it's very cool.
But I think for him, Tristan, he had so much success. And so I'm really curious to see how it goes. I think he's going to be just as good.
Did you see that the outer bands there, that because the Hurricanes now in Georgia?
Uh-huh.
They were starting to reach Atlanta.
Yeah.
So it's weird for me to think the same storm is causing rain from me here in Tampa, Atlanta.
It goes, yes. It's far reaching.
I gotta text him, see if it's raining there.
No.
He has one more question. This is the one he meant to send last week.
All right.
My question from last week was just a follow-up on the creamsicle discussion. With all the hype around these uniforms that we've all been waiting on for 3+ years. It's not 3+ years. It's been like
it's long, but you got to remember, it's not because the organization didn't want to do it. It was because there was a helmet issue with the league.
I think people know that.
Yeah. And then I think they wanted to do it last year, and they couldn't because
they couldn't get the uniforms.
They couldn't get the Nike. Yeah, because of all the other
supply
issues.
Chain issues.
Yes.
So it's been more than 3 years. I'm pretty sure the last one was 2012 or 11.
Yeah, 10, 11, 12, right in there.
The first one was 2009. I know we did it at least 3 years, so we would have done 9, 10, and 11. Yeah. I just can't remember if we did it in 12. But in any case, it's been pretty much a decade since we've been able to do this, and everybody's thrilled that the Creamsicle game is back. If you don't already know, that's going to be week 6 against Detroit, October 15th. It's cool that it's Detroit because we used to play in the division with Detroit when we were in Creamsicles. So Why are the Bucks only wearing them once? Is there some kind of stupid NFL rule limiting the number of times they can be worn? His word, not mine. I figured they would have them on at least 3 to 4 times this year, but according to the schedule, we only get them against the Lions.
Right.
What gives with 3 question marks? Do we need to get some kind of petition going? If you ask me, they could wear them all 17 games this year, and I don't see the issue. It's great to hear you again. Looking forward to week 1 in Minnesota, Mike in Connecticut.
All right.
That's a very long email, and it says at the bottom, it's sent from his phone.
Wow.
I wonder how long it took him to type that whole thing.
I don't know. Well, he's got good thumbs.
Yeah. I don't even use my thumbs. Yeah, I use my fingers.
No, I use my thumbs.
You're like a 16-year-old high school girl.
Yes.
Okay. In more ways than one.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. I'm very emotional.
Wardrobe.
I'm very emotional.
You wear a lot. Yeah.
I like drama.
Okay. Yes, there is a rule. The most times you can wear an alternate uniform of any kind, like color rush.
Sure.
Throwbacks is 3 times in a season. Obviously, I mean, I think this was tongue-in-cheek, but he said you could wear them all 17 games. Like, well, no, you can't, because then that's a uniform change.
Change, right.
Which you, A, how many years you have to wait between uniform changes? Seven?
Yeah, something like that.
So we couldn't, because we changed in 2020, couldn't change if we wanted to.
But here's the thing that always gets me. The throwback game is going to be very special.
And everybody's going to love it.
So why is it that if something's very special, we have to have it all the time? Because it's like ice cream, you know?
Rarity makes it better.
Yes. And
absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Oh, wow. Look at you, 16-year-old girl. Those things you would say to kids when, you know, they break up, you know.
Ah.
You know what I'm saying? Or they're going away from summer break.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. You know,
yeah, when my son's
home. I'll see you in September. Remember that?
I miss my son because he's off at college. When he's home, I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Oh, wow.
You're around all the time.
Yeah. Anyways, yes, it isn't special then.
That's a great point.
I think you gear up for it. I'm ready for it. I did a little preview when we had Creamsicle Day here. I found my...
you had a nice one.
Yeah, I had my Zumba pants.
LA gear?
I've got a couple things I'm going to... Because that's going to be a big
Zubaz.
Game. Zubaz.
Zumba's the thing that cleans your floors. Or is that a Roomba?
That's a Roomba.
Is Zumba like the thing you do?
Zuma, I think you used to drink.
No, I think that's Zima.
Oh.
Zumba is, I think that's a class, like at a gym, a cycling class maybe?
I don't know. Inquiring minds.
If you know, if you're out there, you want to email us and tell us what Zima, Zuma, Roomba, and Zumba, and Zubaz.
The best part, though, is it's going to be fun and it's going to be special. And
you did rock those Zubaz pants.
I did. Do you know what was funny is when I put them on, a lot of people were just dying. They could not believe
it. Fantastic.
Yeah. But, you know, fun. And that's why, you know, it's like if Christmas is every day, then it's not special.
Yeah.
So that's where.
Yeah. I'm at. No, I think you nailed it on the head there.
All right.
But also I would say the other side of that is that the Bucks. And I think a lot of their fans are also very fond of our actual uniforms.
Yes.
If you recall, these orange uniforms weren't necessarily so prized when they were the real thing.
Listen, people swore that the reason why the team lost all the time was because of those damn uniforms.
So they had a little stigma.
If you go through the history and you look back in the mid-80s into the 90s, people could not stand that uniform.
And I was here when, and you were too,
mm-hmm.
when we switched in 97. Nobody was crying about us retiring. Didn't they put the uniform in a treasure chest?
Yeah, there used to be the SS Bounty.
It's not there anymore?
No, it was down in, used Saint to be Pete. At St. Pete at Saint the Pete pier, Pete. The old pier. And they did a whole
ceremony.
And I shot a clip. I didn't shoot it. I found a clip and I sent it to some people in the building saying, this is what people thought about,
uh-huh.
you know, because everybody's like, oh, this is the best uniform. No, you don't understand the history.
In the years since, people have grown fond of it again, which is great.
It is, because it's nostalgic.
And it is pretty cool.
It is very cool.
But we also really like our actual current uniforms, so we're not going to stop wearing
them. No. And Bucko Bruce, they didn't exactly... You know, a pirate with a feather in his mouth wasn't exactly throwing fear into other teams at that time. So,
wait a minute. He had a feather in his cap.
Whatever.
Knife in his mouth.
Same difference.
This weather channel that I just have on in the background just was plugging some show called Weather Underground.
Yeah.
That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, Weather Underground is a website.
weather underground.
Yeah,
there's no weather underground.
I know, but it's a website
that
shows you.
That's a dumb name for a show. Or a website.
I'm just telling you.
Weather underground.
Yes, there's weather underground. There's crown weather.
I guess there's aquifers. And maybe they go up and down.
I don't know.
I don't know if you'd call that weather or not.
Oh, I think it's time we go. What do you think?
Underground weather. Weather. What's today's underground weather? Well, it's still dirt down here.
Are you ready? Whether or not you're ready to go, I am.
Let's
see what I did there.
Yes, and that's the last question, so you can sign us off.
Since you did, thanks for listening.